I don't know if you're like me, but I get confused sometimes. I thought I knew the educational system. And there were public schools and there were private schools. And then when I was a kid, there were parochial schools. But then there are charter schools and then there are magnet schools. Then, of course, there's homeschooling. One of the most successful of that whole group is Uplift Education. They've got a network of 45 really high-performing schools that are set across, I think 20 different campuses or something, serving over 20,000 people. And the CEO of Uplift Education has an interesting journey. Yasmin Bhatia was happily working as a consultant at McKinsey and an MBA from Stanford. And all of a sudden you woke up and you were in the education business. She joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks so much.
So how did that happen, by the way?
So I always had a passion for doing social sector work and had raised my hand at McKinsey whenever there was an opportunity to do pro bono work in the Dallas office. And if you can believe it, one of my last projects before I left McKinsey was I helped write the business plan for the Texas Charter School Association. At the start of the project, didn't even know what a charter school was. And then lo and behold, 6 months later, I was CEO of a small charter school network that was about to experience some rapid growth.
Well, good.
So I'm the joke of do a project, become the CEO.
You're exactly where I was about 15 years ago, trying to figure out the distinctions. Now, Uplift Education is... it's tuition free, so it's not
a
private
school. It's a public charter school.
It's a public charter.
It's a tuition free public charter school. I think that's what throws people off. They don't realize that we're public.
So, I mean, your performance is unbelievable. 100% acceptance for college, four times the national average for college degree attainment, $23,000 average extra salary for alums. I mean, there shouldn't be 45 schools like there should be 45,000. Schools like Uplift Education. What makes you different?
Well, I think the main thing that makes us different is we've always set our end goal of what we think is success as the percentage of our alums who are predominantly first generation kids going off to college, completing college and entering the workforce, not how we did on third grade STAR. We care deeply how we do on state testing. I don't want that to be a message taken away that we don't care. But we spend, I would say, about as much intellectual time on what happens in the K-12 years as we do on preparing and investing in our scholars to get strong scholarship dollars so they can afford college, go to the right college for them, and then end up completing. And a little bit of an aside that's important is for many years, the state would not fund, let us use our public dollars to go towards our college advising and alumni support program. So we had to subsidize heavily with philanthropy. And so now, given the state has seen the success of networks like Uplift, they do allow a small percentage of our state dollars to go towards supporting those services. So, you know, if you're a traditional public school district and you couldn't use your state dollars, you really had no incentive to be thinking about what happened to your kids after they graduated from your school.
So you won't benefit from, you know, from school vouchers, the issue that we've heard so much about. But by the same token, is it possible that will hurt you, that the money's not there and not available? It's being paid out in vouchers?
We really don't honestly think so. We believe in our value proposition to families, and we think the vouchers play to a very specific parent audience. And for our parents, most of our kids come from pretty under-resourced households. An $8,000 voucher to go to a school that maybe costs $25,000 or $30,000 a year, there's still too meaningful of a gap for that single mom who's, you know, predominantly the demographic of our parent group.
So you're really successful around here, and you've really grown the program since you got there. I guess you more than doubled it or something. But is there room for more? And I'm really dead serious when I say, why are there only, you know, 45 of these? Why aren't there 4,500 or 45,000 schools? It's not like everybody ought to be like you.
Yeah, that's so great. I appreciate that. I mean, right now, our focus is making sure every single one of our 45 schools are excellent and to continue to raise our own standard even higher. It's complicated opening up public charter schools still in Texas. There's still a lot of politics and protection of traditional public school districts. And also, we're seeing enrollment across our urban areas being pretty sluggish after the pandemic. Part of that's due to rising housing costs in urban areas that are pushing our demographic of families further out into the suburbs. And those traditionally have not been places where we've reached community. So for us, we'd have to really think about pivoting our target demographic, if we were going to grow further.
But you, with these kind of numbers, you really have to work to get kids in there. I would think that you would have problems, just vetting and having be in a position to turn people away.
I know it sounds as interesting as it sounds, given our outperformance by so much, but I would say a high school is a tricky place for us. It's tricky for a couple of reasons. Kids really desire that large, comprehensive high school social experience. And we don't have, we are just launching this next school year, our first foray into tackle football. Otherwise, we didn't have tackle football, which meant we didn't have fall homecoming dances. And that is a big draw to a lot of our kids
I never thought
who
about
want
that.
that more robust, extracurricular experience than our small 500, 400 to 500 kid high schools offer. And then I would say there's a lot of noise out there in the public education system right now around dual credit classes and get your associate's degree while you're in high school that I think are trying to fast track kids into lower wage jobs as a quick solve to this economic mobility gap issue we have in our community. And so when we're pitching a longer term solution of go to a 4-year institution and complete, even though it's clearly more economically valuable to a family, when you're talking to families who themselves didn't go to college, there's a lot of complexities we have to navigate of helping families understand why our value proposition, specifically in high school, is the better value proposition long term for their
Yeah,
family.
there really has. There's been a big growth in trade schools and junior 2-year colleges, figuring that that's all you need if you want to go out and get a job. Even in STEM, it seems to work. So you're battling that.
We're definitely battling that. And I think there's also, we just aren't doing a strong enough job at uplift, even of trying to help educate our families through all that noise. Because we know college completion is much lower at 2-year institutions than it is at a 4-year institution. So just because something sounds like an easier path does not mean it's a guaranteed path.
So how do you get along with Austin? I mean, and with legislature in session right now, that's all we hear about. And, what do you do with the Department of Education? And maybe the national DOE goes and it goes to the press. Then we hear all these laws that are being passed about you have to display the Ten Commandments in your classrooms. I mean, you come in, you're under all that if you're a state
We're
school.
under all of it. What I try to give my team guidance on is let's not get distracted by this noise. Let's stay focused on what's in our control. If we all watched the headlines, as I'm talking to a journalist, right? If we responded to every single one, every single day that was out there in a rumor of this or that, we wouldn't be focused on doing our job, which is educating kids and keeping them physically safe. There are absolutely priorities that we think are important in Austin. And candidly, we'd like the voucher bill to get passed as quickly as possible so we can all pivot and think about and talk about those real issues around deeper investments in public school safety, paying our teachers what they deserve to be paid.
Right.
But we know we can't get to it till some of these other bills make their way through. So our hope is they move quickly so we can focus on the issues that we think more directly impact our
All
kids.
right, let me end up by getting you to put your corporate CEO hat back on
Yeah.
again. Where's the growth? So you've got 45 high-performing schools, 20 campuses. Is this where you're going to be a year from now? Is this the good size or?
This is what we feel is a really good size for us right now. Again, where we feel like it's a strong proof point of scale because we're a clear medium-sized district, but allows us to keep innovating. Like we see ourselves as the innovation engine of K-12, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So again, that's where we're focused. We want to keep being the proof point that moves everybody else up versus feeling like we need to keep opening new schools.
Yeah.
That's where we feel like our niche is.
And it looks like you're serving it. As the proof is in the success. Yasmin Bhatia is the CEO of Uplift Education. It's good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David. Appreciate it as well.
For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.